Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Boo Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back recording the night after the Lions' heartbreaker to the Minnesota Vikings. A loss in Minnesota under the last minute. A game where the Lions were dominating almost from beginning to end. But alas, it was not beginning to end. It was beginning to almost the end. So, a big Z. And let's get the rest of Blue Kool-Aid crew. So we got DJ.
Hello, Kool-Aid drinkers.
Bob.
Hello, hello.
Connor.
Hey.
And Red Dog.
Yo.
Come on, Connor. You can sound a little more excited than
kidding.
That. Jeez.
That was intentionally manufactured.
All right, gentlemen. So the Lions lose their heartbreaker to Minnesota. I mean, 28-24. The Lions are up 10 in the fourth quarter. And a 90% win expected percentage. I think it even got to 95-96%. But alas, just a real tough one. And let's just get down to the big, talking point of this game. So Lions go for it on fourth down 6 times in this game, 4 for 6 on fourth downs. So super aggressive the entire game. And then the moment it's most obvious to be aggressive, they decide to kick a field goal in the direction that kickers were struggling with all day. Siebert misses it a million miles to the right.
Damn, AC.
And the same exact kick, it looked like the Minnesota kicker made twice earlier in the game. And, it's really frustrating because Campbell puts on this persona of being super aggressive, and then he doesn't trust his team in the biggest moment. It seemed to go against everything he stood for. This moment. Yeah, that's what bothers me about it. I don't know about what do you guys think.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you. I was screaming at the TV, "Go for it! Go for it! Go!" I'm yelling. It's the only one decision in my mind. And then Campbell looked like something happened in his brain, and he was like fighting with himself, like. You know, Cam was always telling him to be true to yourself, all these players. He wasn't true to himself. He was trying to think what would someone else do in this situation, not what I would do in this situation. And he chose wrong, man. Campbell got out of his own character, and he made a big mistake.
Strange choice.
Yeah, it was very
I would rather he punted.
Yeah.
That was the worst of the three options we had.
Yeah, it was.
Even if we make it, what does it fundamentally change all that much? I mean,
well, the Vikings need a touchdown.
Yeah, you make it, they need a touchdown. I mean, we have to kick off so you can get some better field position. I guess it's.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you make it, it makes sense. But
a little
the odds,
bit.
If you get the fourth down, you just take it.
You win the game. Yeah.
You still put the ball in the hands of an offense at the end of a game in the NFL, and that's not a good strategy, I feel like.
And a quarterback you claim could be your franchise guy. Why not give him the chance to prove it?
Yeah,
and they won. They needed 2 yards. They needed 2 yards.
That's what I'm saying. I would have let him
4 yards, right?
4 yards.
Fourth and four.
Yeah,
they could have got that even on a run potentially.
Yeah.
And Goff apparently regretted not demanding.
I heard about that.
Yeah,
I like to hear that.
That's regret.
Say that again, DJ.
Yeah, Goff apparently regretted not going to Campbell and saying, "No, we're going for it. We're going for it."
See, that's a problem too.
Yeah,
is it not?
It is.
No,
I saw something about that where somebody's like, "Oh yeah, Goff should have said something." You know, that's. But I think he said that just because he didn't want the coach to take all the blame, you know, and he's like, I should have done something.
You may be right.
I don't think so.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's the head coach's fault. Not, I mean, you can blame Goff, and I do blame him for not setting up, but ultimately it's Dan Campbell's choice. And
no, but you know what? I'll bet you, you're right, though, Connor, but I'll bet you if he, Goff had insisted on it,
Dan would go.
I agree with that.
Hard Knocks thing. Penny Sewell motherfucking him because he took, you know, on to get in the game. Well, what if Goff did the same thing to him right there?
Dan would have gone.
Going for him.
Yeah.
He would have had a tear in his eyes. And,
yes.
Yeah.
And no, here's the thing. You say that's a problem. I think it was a mistake, an error.
Is it a problem?
No, Connor said it was a problem. And I would just like, I'm just going to like to rephrase it a different way. And I think a little more accurate.
What do you mean?
Is that I don't think it's a problem because it was an error. And we only know that he didn't do that because he told us and he recognized that error. So to me, it looks promising that we're going to expect him to, you know, take that more ownership of this offense going forward, that he's saying that. To me, that's him putting us on notice that he's going to step up more as a leader, not him trying to apologize for anything.
Yeah, I don't remember saying that, but all right.
I wasn't saying that all you, Connor, just that you said it was a problem. Like, I'd say it would be if it goes on going forward, but I think him bringing it up is
I meant in the context of that game. I'm not saying.
Oh yeah, I agree. It was an error. Anything. I didn't mean to mischaracterize your argument. I was just.
No, you're fine. I was just. Never mind.
Anyway,
let's keep.
Yeah, it was good.
Anyway, the decision to shock me. It just went against like the play calling throughout the game and historically everything he's done. It was just really bizarre.
That sucks though that now we don't have a kicker. I mean, that we can rely on it. Mm-hmm. You know, we for years Lions have had great kicking, you know, and not so much now.
Yeah.
When you see all these NFL games where they're hitting these long field goals, just like, oh, it's 55. Okay, we'll just kick the field goal and, you know, no big deal. But we get a 54 and they not even close.
It does seem like talent in the league around has gone down in recent years. It used to seem like there were more automatic kickers.
Kicks.
You're right.
Yeah. They are missing a lot more. That's for sure.
Who's the best kicker right now? Tucker?
I don't even know.
Still Tucker. Yeah, he's the man.
Riley Patterson.
Greg the leg.
Yeah. Caleb McLaughlin? Or who's the kicker on the Bengals?
I don't know. Yeah.
Why am I drawing a blank?
Matt Gay in L.A.?
No, I mean, he's good too, but I'm really drawing a blank on the kicker for the Bengals right now. He was, you know, instrumental to them making the Super Bowl last year. So,
yeah. Regardless.
Yeah, it'd be nice
Chase
to get a
McLaughlin,
good
McLaughlin, thank you. I said Kid McLaughlin. I think there was, thank you to our pursuit, Kid J, for providing that. Chase McLaughlin and Justin Tucker, I'd say one or two. We all know about decision. Campbell said it was wrong. Obviously, in hindsight, it's a wrong decision. If they make it and they win, it was
yeah,
a wrong
yeah.
But I think the defense kind of gave up after that. It felt like we lost the game after we missed that kick. I don't know about you guys.
It did feel that way. Yeah,
it did. Yeah, really, and then Tracy Walker, he's out for the year with an Achilles injury. Another torn Achilles. That's the third in 2 years for our team. To a major player on the team. Aquara, Okuda, and now Walker. Although Okuda, we'll get to in a moment, shows that you can come back from it and be a full horse.
Oh, my gosh.
If not better than you were before. Let's get to him in a moment. But that last drive, so Walker's out, and Hughes just gets completely lost on a post route to Osborne. Just rough.
Yeah, some kind of miscommunication is what they said. So
yeah,
whatever happened there.
That's what happens when you're down to your third man to some extent too. When you know you're at the end of a clutch moment and there's a lot of pressure. And
Evan McPherson, sorry.
Well, we had a timeout there, so we should have been ready for anything,
right?
But didn't we kind of blow a couple timeouts?
Yeah, it's a weird way to call.
Yeah,
it.
He
it
made some weird. Questionable calls. Dan made some weird calls with his timeouts and his. Not going for it and all that. Like I you can't deny it. There's no it was an indefensible loss. They should have won that game.
A lot of people a lot of people were mad that they were snapping with like 15 seconds left on the clock too when they were trying to kill time.
Yeah, that was really bizarre.
Maybe that's a rhythm thing, I don't know, but you seem like you want to take every second off the clock.
That's what the explanation was. Yeah.
That's just a mistake. It's wrong.
Yeah.
They should have been doing that.
Yeah, they seemed a little.
They thought too much.
A little unprepared. A little unprepared.
Overprepared. He outthought himself.
They overthought it.
Exactly.
I mean, even Ben Johnson was overthinking it, like bombing it on third and one. It's just some weird choices.
I don't mind that. I don't mind bombing it on third. Especially when the guy was open. They just met. Josh Reynolds, you got to turn around. You're wide open.
No,
he lost the
that
ball.
That play pissed me off. Yeah. I'm going, run the damn
I didn't like that call at
all. You got a yard.
Yeah, I like the running.
With our offensive line.
Here's the thing, though. They recognize something. Ben Johnson recognizes there's an opportunity in short down yards or plays, short yard downs in the NFL. You can take advantage of that 1 yard down because everyone's going to bite. And look at that. They would have scored a touchdown there if the communication was there. It was a good call.
Last I checked, they didn't score a touchdown. They should have ran the stupid ball. That was.
I think that's situational, Jack, because earlier in the game they did that.
They were taking advantage of short downs and taking shots.
But in that critical moment, I think you just trust your old line to get 1 yard.
Yeah.
That's
a safer option. I'll give you that.
It was earlier in the game, it's less critical than toward the end of the game. And I think. That critical
you take the safer option. Well, that would have been a better time.
When they should have been safe.
Right, exactly.
Safe when they should have been risky.
Yeah, that would be the argument.
Right.
Though, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly what happened. I think we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Our offense has been really good this year, but our third down conversion is not very good in this game. I mean, I don't know what they're doing on third down.
That's got to be better.
It's good that we go for it on fourth.
Three for 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our fourth down conversion is so good because our third down conversion is
right.
So yeah,
Not they definitely have some things to work on, especially against an okay.
I do want to note one thing about. Oh, sorry, Z, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
no, go ahead.
Just one thing about that offense going for it on fourth down. An important note: I think it was Goff or one of the players mentioned that. Them setting up fourth down was actually by design sometimes. They would take shorter plays, like they were run up the gut, expecting that they might not get the whole chunk, knowing that they could go for it with fourth and two or fourth and one. And I think that's interesting that they actually strategize as if they have every down. I mean, think about it historically, like at some point, someone flipped a switch and you punt on third and, you know, anything or fourth down, I mean. And it's like now. People are using it more strategically, and I like that. But I'm just saying, just to mitigate some of that, they were setting up fourth downs for what it's worth.
Hey, guys, could I quickly jump in with what that last play, the controversial play or whatever? We were talking about three options, but Campbell said there was a mysterious fourth option that he didn't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, I heard somebody speculating it might have been having Goff punt the ball. I think that would have been interesting, you know.
That would have been.
It has to be the fourth one. Either that, or you run backwards.
Yeah,
which wouldn't make sense. So,
but he wouldn't say what it was. I was just curious about that.
Goff punching the ball.
Keep him thinking, baby.
Happen?
Keep him guessing.
Yeah, that's happened. Really? Not, well, I don't know about Goff specifically, but quarterbacks have punted plenty of times.
Usually, it's on a quick kick on third down, but
like third and 30 or something.
I don't know if I've seen that in the NFL before. I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but.
I have, but it's been many years. I can't remember the last time I saw it, but I've seen it.
It's uncommon, but not rare.
Interesting. That's interesting.
So let's get to at least a good part that I mentioned. Something super positive about this game. I think this game really cemented that Okuda might be fully back. He completely shut down Justin Jefferson, which probably kept the Lions in the game largely against this offense. They were still shred. They were doing pretty good work on them on the ground. And if you go back and watch some of the film, Aiden Hutchinson did not have a good game in this one, especially in the run game. He was constantly. It was his responsibility. A lot of those holes they were attacking him, and he was not playing up to par. They would constantly down block, and he would go with the down block, and then they just run right around him when it was his hole.
If you go
back and watch, you'll see what I mean. But
So
that part was a little frustrating. But Okuda, how pumped are we about this Okuda performance? First against Devontae Smith, shutting him down completely. Then last week against McLaurin, and now this week against Jefferson, like top receivers in the NFL.
He's shaping up to be an elite cornerback, like exactly what you want out of a top five pick.
Like literally, Connor,
more than any of us could have expected.
Literally shaping up. Yeah. I feel like he's pulled a physical transformation. He didn't look anything like the player he is today in form at all. Like, he's, like, grown. And
well,
his
he's
arms look longer.
Been so injured. I think he's,
well, he's bulked
doing
up.
What we expected him to do when we drafted him, or at least I did. But,
well, yeah, we expected it then, but then I think with all the injuries, there's kind of like a will he even make it back thing.
Yeah, even if he'd be like a decent cornerback, we'd take it, but this level is extraordinary.
Well, Tracy Walker was so impressed that he went and blew out his Achilles, too, so he could go through the whole routine and come back better and stronger than ever, too.
She said
I hope maybe. Other players don't take that.
Yeah,
path.
Right.
Maybe, hopefully, Aquara will come back just like that, too.
Yeah.
Romeo.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. I'll tell you, what is this with these glass players, man? I don't know. Can't we get a running back who's just a stud and just runs and runs and runs and, you know, like Chubb or like some of these guys, even that Montgomery from the Bears or somebody you just rely on. He's not going to get up limping. You know, and he's just gonna get up and do the next play.
I wonder if they're as reliable as you think they are, UJ. I think NFL running backs are notoriously, you know, limited throughout the season. I mean, you get those rare, like, amazing workhorses, but I'm not sure it's so common that even like Chubb, doesn't he miss games every season or something? Or is he? I feel like
not as much as Swift.
Granted, Swift's a little bit more than.
It's frustrating with Swift, though, because he's so talented. He's so freaking good.
Swift and Dalvin Cook went down in this game. So.
Yeah.
More
the butt fumble.
Completely. Swift, at least, was holding there.
Yeah. And it wasn't even Swift's ankle. It was his shoulder this time.
Yeah. No,
and he hurt the shoulder last year.
Yeah.
That's what
said. Looks like his ankle's still not fully there.
That was the thing in the fourth quarter. We had Swift banged up, and Amon Ra was also kind of limping around. So it wasn't.
Yep.
We weren't at full force there.
And Shark and Reynolds couldn't quite pick up the slack. I mean, Reynolds did better than Shark, but like.
And just as a side note, too, that it seemed like the Vikings were not blitzing much, mostly rushing four and counting on, you know, Goff having to beat him. And our receivers weren't getting a lot of separation or something at the time. But he wasn't finding the guys like he was
Neither
early
was Hawk.
In the game.
Yeah, Amon Ra St. Brown, his streak is over of 8 catches in consecutive games. And so is our streak of scoring a touchdown in consecutive quarters.
Damn.
We kept it going for a little bit longer this game.
Yeah, 18.
As far as play calling goes, I want to note one play call that was driving me nuts. Did anyone else notice that we were like hitting our head on a stone wall in the left flat all game? Like every time we went there, they were just either like shunning us down or, you know, tackling us for no gain or almost picking it off. Hawk was getting shut down. The only time Hawk was successful there was that one easy touchdown. And after that, we kept doing it. And it kept like being on like short, like Hawk was running routes short of the first down in the flat over there. And they were shutting it down. I don't know what they were thinking. And that was driving me nuts watching that.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson was making some questionable decisions. I thought he was doing some weird things that, you know, you like to not judge too much because he's looking at a macro view and it's hard to know what his whole plan is, but it was just weird to watch. And it just seemed like they had an answer for what everything he kept trying to do, and it always looked the same.
Hey, Hawk scored a touchdown and he had a key block on that running touchdown, so
he's a mixed bag.
We're re-signing him, baby. He's coming back.
Mixed bag. That's 3 catches, 18 yards. Yes, the touchdown cut. But you probably expect him to be a little more involved than that.
Yeah.
Throughout the game.
I'll give you this, Bob.
The under Hawk yards keep hitting.
As Hawk goes, the most important thing for Hawk is just stay healthy and stay on the field. I trust that if he can do that, he's going to improve much as this season goes on. And I do still like his prospects. He's just got to keep improving.
Yeah. Well, he might be getting balls if everyone keeps getting injured.
True, everyone. Yeah, right.
Yeah, maybe even Cephas will catch a ball.
Yeah,
I think that was a mistake strategically by Dan by not playing Cephas, honestly. Especially once Amon Ra went down, Cephas should have been in there. You needed a more of an X factor.
Well, he had tackle on special teams, so.
Yeah.
He has more tackles than catches this year, right? I think.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that.
Hey, he's doing what he's got to do. He's like Spartacus when he was down in the pits and he was fighting his way and clawing his way through gnarly, bloody battles to the death just so he could get out to the sun to fight for more blood. And that's where Cephas is now. He's in the pits and he's fighting his way out. He's proving himself.
He'll go in the Hall of Fame as a special teamer.
He's going to get back to they're going to go to him eventually, and they're going to realize they were dumb for not throwing the ball to him more. Just like it was with St. Brown last year, kind of. He's going to come out. You're going to see. It's a long season.
If you want to see a great block, I think you meant which T.J. Hockenson play were you talking about with his block?
Was it Jamal?
The touchdown run.
Yeah, the touchdown run.
Great
touchdown run
all around.
I don't have the clip in front of me.
The one where he got the celebration penalty.
Oh, God, afterwards. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Because actually, the block, the best block in that play was Sewell. He completely annihilated his the contain on that play and drove him like 8 yards down.
So sick.
At the end. Sewell is a beast. He's definitely our best O-lineman, I would say. He's most consistent.
If Ragnow can stay healthy, I'd argue, but no, you're right.
It's really encouraging to see him. And then Evan Brown and Skipper are okay. It'd be really nice to get Jonah Jackson back, though, for pass protection. Skipper's still not great in there. Although, I mean, Goff didn't take a sack, but just because he doesn't take a sack doesn't mean it was great
right.
all game. But,
What about our – I mean, I thought the O-line played okay. I mean,
they played okay.
Did enough to win if we have better strategy, but, you know. Mm-hmm.
The run game didn't hum as much, but
it definitely looked like an all-around coaching failure. I'd say in this game is the most glaring thing. You know, there was execution problems, but I would say a little more sound coaching, a little less erratic, you know, decisions. And this game, we wrap up with a bow.
It's crazy. With all that though, they should have easily beat the Vikings.
Yeah, yep. I mean the team on the field looked up to the task.
Yeah, I would just say one more thing about Goff too. Yep. He's being very smart with the ball, which I'm really appreciating. Like, he's not throwing stupid throws when he's under pressure. He's just throwing it into the ground, get rid of it. You know, and he's been very smart with the ball. He's
so
not
composed,
it over, like historically we've seen him do.
I liked him this week. Of all 3 weeks, I know he put up the least points this week, but he passed the eye test the most.
Another Lions fan reached out to me and said, I asked him, you know, what do you think of Goff so far 3 games in? Do you think he's the guy for the future? He's like a guy. I don't know if he's the guy, though. Which I thought was an interesting way of putting it. It's hard to say if he's like the one for the future or not still. I mean, it's a long season. We still got ways to go.
He's shown some
definitely
signs.
Improved over. I mean, they showed the stats during the game. It's very obvious, like, where he was the first half of last year to compare to after post-Anthony Lynn offense coordinator time. He's a completely different quarterback.
He still doesn't have that deep ball, though. I'm sorry. I mean, like, he's missed Shark a couple times on this.
Yeah.
And, when they had 45 seconds left, I'm like, damn, if Stafford were in there, I would feel, like, a lot more confident.
We can get
a touchdown here, you know, or get in scoring range. But
I was thinking that exact thing. Yeah. Like if Stafford was here, I'd say we have a chance of scoring.
Yeah.
Right now, I have very little.
You know, I would say it depends on what part of Stafford's career. I don't know. I feel like Goff gives me pretty much amount of hope.
Well,
that
he's coming off the Super Bowl, so I guess
the consistent parts where he was always making fourth quarter comebacks for one.
Yeah,
you can reference any of those.
Yeah, but remember when he did that? That was when Riddick was at his best and tearing up people in the freaking like for like 40 yard chunks at a time.
Theo.
I'm just saying it was a big part of some of his comebacks. But, you know, same thing here. Like when his studs went down, when St. Brown went down, when Swift was limited, and all those guys were down. That's when you saw Goff start to struggle and this offense start to stall a little bit. And I feel like you know, that's just all we need our horses.
I was really upset the Lions forced the fumble. I was like, all right, close the game out right here. This is where you take it down the field and you shut it down. 3 and out.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
quick.
So does anyone think Chark is a little overrated right now or needs to step up or just needs to be targeted more or something?
I think everyone thinks that.
Like, what is he
he's
doing?
He's really present every week.
I think he's getting paid like, I mean, 1 year, $10 million only, so which for the NFL is not.
Is he just an expensive distraction? I mean, like.
I don't know. I think he's made some catches, and I think Goff's missed him a couple times. You know, so I don't know. Like,
it's definitely not like last year with our signings. Definitely better than Perryman and Williams of last year.
They probably need to get him going more.
They do, but once Jameson Williams is there, where does that leave Shark?
That's a big missing piece. But who knows how much we're going to see him? That they seem really content to just maybe.
Save him for next year.
Have him like play 10 plays a game.
He'll get there at some point, though, and Goff's got to use that. He has to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, of course. Of course they have to.
Deep. Not like some bullshit slant route, you know? Like, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
But when Goff is throwing that deep ball, he has a longer, arm rotation. Like a lot of these guys in the NFL, like if you look at Aaron Rodgers, his release point is like instant. He doesn't like have the reach all the way back with his arm like you see Goff do. Goff, when he's throwing those deep balls, he's putting his whole entire body into it. He does not make it look like effortless, I will say.
Goff can throw a deep ball, but like you say, he needs like a couple steps to kind of bounce back and forth and like, line it up.
Yeah. His pocket presence is so much better this year, though. Like he went,
his
like,
footwork.
VR training 20.
They said
10 hours a day over the offseason.
Ben Johnson said he did some like footwork adjustments that I guess were really hard for him, but it's allowed him to see the whole field a lot better. So it's allowed him like command the pocket better. I don't know what those adjustments are, but
they've been highlighting that in other games, Connor. Like I've seen it's what Aaron Rodgers does and stuff. It's like this way like you like switch your lead foot or something, and it makes you not have to step back as much in the exchange, so you're not like distracted or something. I don't know. I'm also not entirely, but they were covering it. I don't know. It's like it's not like a secret only he does, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Light on the feet.
So let's go back to the coaching aspect, but on the other side of the ball, defense. Aaron Glenn gets a lot of praise, but let me maybe play devil's advocate here. The Lions are giving up the most points in the NFL through the first three games of the season. 93 points. Is Aaron Glenn doing a good job or not, too, guys? I want to get your thoughts.
I like Aaron Glenn. I think he's doing a decent job. I don't think we have the personnel on defense that the rest of the league does. But I thought they played well for most of the game. And then when they obviously fell apart, but I thought for a good portion of the game, they played pretty decent ball, the D.
That's what it always seems to be. They play really well for good portions and they just collapse for portions.
They lose.
Right.
Focus.
Does the second game are always started hot and then let the team right back in the game.
Yeah. And our defensive line was not very good at getting pressure. I thought we'd have some sacks in this game, but
losing Kaminsky hurt.
They got
pressure
several times.
We only had one sack, and actually Alex Anzalone played one of his better games that he's had since being a Lion in this one. Yeah. He did. That was a great sack, the great delayed blitz.
Him and
I think he was covering a tight end, realized tight end's not going out for a pass, and just decided to rush the last second, but it worked out nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with Glenn. What do you guys think? What do the rest of you guys think about Aaron Glenn?
I agree. He's doing a pretty good job. I think overall he's got a somewhat limited. I think we're pretty close. We need we're a couple players away maybe.
I
think we're at least four.
I don't know. I think a better another better interior lineman next to Aleem, a better linebacker.
Speed off the edge.
Maybe one more safety. I think
and another cornerback.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I think we're pretty close.
Was doing it for you.
Anyway, I think Glenn's doing a pretty good job with somewhat limited resources, but I don't think we're that limited. I just think he does a good job of mixing it up and, trying to keep the offense off balance and coming from all different angles. And, you get a sack with Anzalone. If you guys haven't watched, I'm just going to go real quick into what makes me excited about this future of this team going forward. Because if you watch the interviews of Campbell and all the players, this didn't phase them. Like, that's Dan Campbell's answer to the team. Like, this doesn't phase us. The mission hasn't changed. No, nothing's changed other than you absorb the data from this game and you move forward. Yeah, it hurts. It's frustrating, especially on the outside. But the team, you look to the leaders of this movement. The Lions are a movement this year, and they're confident. They're moving forward in their abilities. They just know they got to iron out the details, and they can't allow these lapses in judgment, these lapses in focus, because really that game was a few lapses in judgment from us just dominating it and walking away with an easy win. And I know that's frustrating and everything, but this team is not, losing focus. And that's what gives me hope going forward. And Anzalone did describe exactly what happened on that play. That's a design thing where if his guy is coming out to block, he goes for the blitz. It's like a trade-off thing between him and the linebackers they do. And it was very effective there.
My biggest concern is some of the late defensive play calling you see on Glenn. I didn't like this defense where it was that easy for the a miscommunication, sure, but it looked like it was supposed to, that guy was gonna be in single coverage no matter what. on that play.
Yeah.
And at least you give up the field goal and tie and go to overtime, but just
you can't give up the deep ball.
The chance of giving up a deep ball there is much higher than the defense they were calling. So I wasn't a big fan of the defense play calling at the end of this game. We've seen it a few times going back to last year. So
yeah,
he's always made weird last minute calls. Like he never puts a spy on the quarterback, and like I feel like once the offenses adjust, he takes a while to readjust. Sometimes it's like a little concerning late game, especially when they're doing like the 2 minute drill. I feel like
everybody has him like pinged as like the next head coach candidate out there. I just need to see more out of him before I would hire him as a head coach elsewhere.
Get a sip of your Kool-Aid, Zach.
I know, it's
early.
It's very early.
I'm just game saying, three. You need to be more than the worst defense in the NFL to get hired elsewhere.
Yeah.
We need talent, yes, but we have enough to not be this bad, defensively, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's these like little spurts where they just give up a bunch of points.
Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. I think
the way I saw this team shaping out, though, I figured we're going to have to win a lot of shootouts this year. I mean, just with the talent level, personally, I don't think we have the talent to be a top defense. I mean, you guys might disagree with that. But, we are making stops the last few games, which, you know, sometimes last year it seemed like we couldn't do that. Like, couldn't stop the
That's
team
true.
At all.
That's true.
So, I don't know.
This was a holistic failure, you know? It wasn't just them failing. The offense failed. The coaching failed, but like,
and our special teams, that was another strong point of our team last year, and they're terrible this year.
Yeah, Riley Patterson's hasn't missed a kick yet for the Jaguars, but that would have made the decision easier actually for the Lions to go for it yesterday, because he would never make a 54.
I don't think our guy can make a 54 yard.
Yeah, he doesn't even have a history for it either. I know they said he was doing great in training camp, but on the field, he hasn't done it.
I don't know. How is the kicker for the Vikings normally? Is he normally so bad, too?
He's a good, yeah.
So, I mean, something else was going on at play that day. I think the turf or the field or the wind or something, because
even more reason to go for
even,
it.
You know, I agree, agreed. But yeah, I guess even Siebert.
Right, we
got to
get over that.
Now.
It's done with.
I'm just saying, Siebert's on the injury, or Campbell warned that Siebert's a bit sore after that game for whatever that. It sounds like he's getting fired.
We've experienced so many of these losses in the past, and yet it still hurts.
Every time these games happen,
it doesn't make it any less painful that we've already been through it 100 times before. But all we got to do is hope that this time is different around with this coaching staff, and just hope that they are learning from their mistakes. A lot of them are
exactly
doing it for the first time.
Damn them for getting.
I think the thing that gets me the most is that it's like a tearing in reality. It's like we're comfortably like winning this game. We look amazing. It's like, all doubts aside, this team's on the right track. And then it's like, oh yeah, we'll prove it. Like it's like suddenly it's like, am I in the same reality that I was like 5 minutes ago? Like we're suddenly a whole different team for it.
Red Dog, you're across the multiverse. It's another thing right now. Just you know.
But. Do you guys think we expect a worry out there more? We briefly touched on it, but not enough, I don't think. But 5 illegal contact penalties. Every time they threw a flag, it's like it might. Do I need to rewind or fast forward? Like, I just saw this already.
Yeah, he's got to adjust out there. Yes. I don't know. I was listening to John Jansen this morning, and he was talking about how he's like, maybe he played it that way last week, and they, you know, it's fine. You know, it depends on the ref crew, you know. But if you see they're calling something, you got to change what you're doing. But
I mean, there was a huge emphasis this offseason on calling illegal contact. Like,
but he didn't change anything.
Usually it starts off, they call it a lot, then they kind of tail off as the season goes. Historically, when they make these big changes, or when they say they're going to do these things and focus on
whatever way you slice it, that was a trigger-happy officiating crew. They were throwing so much laundry, it seemed, that game.
So, the Jamal Williams touchdown celebration. Oh, yeah. He's done that in the past.
That's not even my biggest complaint.
But he's done it in the He's done it in the past with no.
Can't do the four
play.
Pumps.
The perfect defense in the end zone for pass interference pissed me off more. That was textbook pass coverage.
Connor explain.
There's this Key and Peele video where they're. This guy keeps getting flagged for touchdown celebrations, and he does like the crotch pump three times, and he keeps getting flagged for it on the third pump, but he won't stop doing it. That, people were saying on Twitter that he did the four pumps, so clearly that was a flag. I'll send you guys the video after.
Oh, the
video. The...
Yeah, the video's like awesome. The ref is like right next to his groin, like ready to blow the whistle, like looking for the third pump. And
his
just
name
does...
is Hingle McKringleberry.
Yes,
video.
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys are so damn funny.
I'll send it to you guys.
Okay.
The Swift looks like he might be week to week. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out next week. Obviously, Walker will be out. Jamal Williams definitely more than serviceable backup. Craig Reynolds has yet to really show something at this point.
If Jamal runs like he did on that touchdown play, every play, I thought it was Swift for a second. He came out of there like a bat out of hell. Like that was a great run.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But we need Swift back, though, because Swift is definitely another level. I'm sorry. Oh, I mean, as good as
these
Jamal
are
Williams
a good
is.
2 weeks for him to be out, though. I think the next two.
Yeah.
Going up against some weaker teams.
And that early bye might help us because we have so many injuries on the Stamp team.
It might, actually. Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Get
I always complain about the early bye, but.
I will. You know, I forgot to mention this. I will defend Aaron Glenn a little bit in this in terms of. The points is that the Lions in this game going for on fourth down so much did give up some short field opportunities for the Vikings a few times, which makes it definitely harder to defend when you're playing on the short fields. But
true,
but you got to respond to the challenge at the same time. So
Campbell doesn't seem to mind putting pressure on his guys.
Yeah,
it seemed like breakdowns when we failed though. It didn't just seem like we were. Sometimes we got beat. I'll give you that. The Vikings were a good team. You know, they beat us in some plays. But there were other plays where it just seemed like we had breakdowns. It wasn't necessarily coaching. And that's like the touchdown with the guy wide open in the back of the end zone. And, you know, all these other plays we're talking about, they're just these little breakdowns. And I feel like if we can just lock that up, this defense has enough juice to, you know, win games.
Hey, Red Dog, it's like UJ said. They got to clean those things up. That's the thing that you hate when they say, we're just going to clean up a few things out there.
Oh, yeah.
Look, man, we just got to
clean up. No, that's what they don't say. They say focus on the details now. That's what Dan Campbell's guys talk about, focusing on the details. I think Anzalone said eliminate the details. I'm not sure. How about us?
Well, at least they're not talking about pad level.
Yeah.
Like that. Right. Not quite the same.
I do want to know Chris Bourne. Chris Board was the highest rated player again in this game.
I'm not surprised. He was getting ready to pop on the Ravens, and you don't do that if you're a bad player generally on their defense.
For sure. So, you know, going into next week, the Lions, 6.5-point favorites. Favorites.
I can't remember
when
last time we had a line like that.
We're getting respect a little bit. Anyway. Where do we lose when we get respect?
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe it is a different era. So, you know, 25 games took us to be a favorite, and now twice in four games.
Well, we have a real strength right now, at least, people like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how did the Bears win when they're Justin Fields had, like, 97 yards passing or something? I don't know.
The Bears are so bad, and they're 2-1. That's so confusing.
It's so
defense. I know. Also, the Texans.
Yeah, the Texans are terrible. Yeah.
And then the Lions get the Jaguars, who look like one of the best teams in the NFL this year to this point.
They did
not luck out that there. And our producer just pointed out that this is the most the Lions have ever been favored since 2018. So
that's actually less than I thought you were going to say.
Screw it up. Win it like you should. Seattle, definitely not. You know, Geno Smith, they're in the transition period. So we'll talk about all that later this week. But we wanted to react to everything in the week 3 game here, the 28-24 loss to Minnesota. It's a tough one, especially for the division. But there's still a long way to go. It's crazy. In NFL right now, there's only 2 undefeated teams and only 1 team that has lost all the games they've played. And that was that's the Raiders, and they lost by
a
combined 13 points. So the NFL is a crazy lot of parity.
Parity
team that doesn't have a win is the Texans, but they're 0-2-1. They tied to the Colts week one. But and then the Dolphins and the Jaguars, the two undefeated ones. So just like everybody predicted coming into the season.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I think there'll be a course correction with a few of those teams.
Hey, but the thing about the Lions losing, though, it just ruins my day.
And Eagles. Sorry, I forgot the Eagles, too.
It's caused me to drink heavily lately. And it's causing other problems in my life.
You were already drinking a lot of Weller, so this is concerning to hear.
I know.
It's so much different waking up on a Monday after a Lions win versus a loss.
Oh, absolutely. It's just a way different drunk. You know what I mean? Like, there's a happy drunk and there's the depressed
the sad
drunk.
It's
not even the same.
Yeah.
That did kind of ruin my day, though. Like, last year, none of the losses ruined my day because I didn't expect anything out of that team. But this team's got me believing again. So now it's like, damn it, it hurts.
It was incredibly disappointing.
Especially when they clearly looked like the better team for most of it.
Ted Lasso, they say it's the hope that kills you.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, that's what it is.
True.
Hey, but you can't let it go. Got to keep holding on to it because it's going to be so sweet when it pays off.
For sure. All right, so let's wrap it up here. We'll be back later this week talking, previewing week four. The Lions move to 1-2, but long way to go. And the division's wide open right now. Packers and Bears 2-1. Or sorry, Packers, Bears, and Vikings 2-1. Lions 1-2. So we got some catching up to do, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. So, SidelineReport.com, our podcast is hosted on there as well, as long as Spotify and Apple. So please download, subscribe, leave a review. Always greatly appreciate that. Thank you to our producer,
Kid J.
We got to work on that. Yeah, thanks to our producer, Kid J, for all the work that he does on the podcast. And then Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on week three and everything that you're looking forward to in week four. All right. So we're going to wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.